Wait, wait, stop. That's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others.
Today we have a guest. Our guest today is Amanda Tweed. Amanda Tweed and I met on a Facebook group called Addict Lives Matter. And Amanda is a mentor and an author of a book, Trapped by the Devil. And it's a life through the eyes of the most blessed women. So you can check that out on the link that I'll put on the show notes below. And she is a well-being professional instructor at Zumba, as well as a CEO of a non-profit company that she helps support the most vulnerable adults who suffers with mental health. And so I'll put all of that on the show notes below. So welcome, Amanda, to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Definitely. So tell us who you are and what brings you joy.
Who am I? I am, you've read it out in the description. Yes, I am a female. I'm a well-being professional. I'm also a Zumba fitness instructor, and I am a mentor. The CEO part is just that I own a not-for-profit company that helps adults who have mental health issues and issues around homelessness. The mentor side is because of an experience that I had for 15 years of entering the dark side of life. And so I came out, and I now teach others how to completely come out of addiction, crime, mental health. So yeah, it's quite an amazing journey, and that's what brings me joy. It was tapping into what makes me happy, and when I'm giving and when I'm empowering, that is happiness. That's what triggers the happiness in me. Yeah.
Wow, that is amazing. You probably are into other inspirational speakers and reading books and self-help books, probably.
Oh yes, yes.
Yeah, yes, definitely. Yes, and I'm into a lot of these things, and we all know that it is in giving that we find a joy in our heart, and you're servicing others and you feel like this joy and happiness, and that's beautiful. Yes. I love that you do that. I've noticed interviewing a lot of people who've gone through the same route that you'll be talking about later, that they have found something different that they didn't have in their lives before when they're servicing others, and they have like found a purpose and a goals and drive. And it's interesting how a lot of these people, they also starting to have an entrepreneurial route as well. As for before, they were not. And I love that. And I'm like, wow, like it would be great if most of the population would actually have those kind of structure, even without going through all these things. But like, if we have that structure to begin with, then most people probably would not have to go through it. But going through it also is part of growth and it's part of life. So that's okay too. But I've noticed that it's amazing how people serve others and you go out to give back in your community. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
What is your shame, guilt, and fear? And how are you working to overcome those, or if you have overcome them already?
I'm smiling when you ask that question. My shame, guilt, and fear. I actually don't have any.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That wasn't always the case, though, because when you've been in a dark place, the emotions that are, I don't want to say guiding you, but the emotions that you experience are the lower emotions. So it's apathy, it's fear, it's guilt, grief. That is a day-to-day thing. But as of today, no, I don't remember what those emotions are like. I don't remember them.
So is this something that you did work on and you overcame them? Like, can you tell the audience how they could possibly basically emulate you on how you did it?
Yeah, so I would have to, I don't have to, but I choose to tell you my story where I, in a nutshell, I chose greed. It was a decision that I made. The reasons why I made it are irrelevant. I chose greed. And the consequences of that is that I ended up going to prison. And whilst I was in prison, I met a lot of all walks of life. There were all different types of ladies. And I actually got through the prison sentence. And during that time when I was in prison, I was contacted by a male who, because the story behind what I'd done, it got a lot of attention because of the amount of money that I stole and the mastermind behind it. It drew a lot of attention to me. So I got speaking with this man. And at this point, I think it was 1996. And I think I was in my late 20s then. And I had absolutely no knowledge of heroin, no knowledge of crack. Cannabis, no. Ease, no. LSD, no, nothing. I had faced life head on up until that point. So I met this guy while I was in prison. And then when I got released, we carried on the relationship. It was all done over the power of the pen. We wrote to each other and also with a few inter-prison phone calls. And then we built a relationship. At the time, I didn't realize that I was vulnerable. And I don't think I would have admitted being vulnerable because back then, seeing the word vulnerable, it my understanding was somebody who's weak, who can't look after themselves. And that certainly wasn't me. So our relationship blossomed, if I can say that, when he actually got released from prison and I was released from prison. And very, very quickly, extremely quickly, the mental abuse started. I didn't know the signs. I didn't know what was happening. But I found myself in a very bad place mentally, broken, didn't know whether I was coming or going, didn't know a lot of things I didn't know. It was this man. I now know that this is what he did. This was just what he did. As a person, I was victim number three. He was on a mission to find a woman that had never had any drugs and to break her and bring her onto drugs. It was his way of, I suppose, of control. So that's what happened. Within a short space of time, I was forced to take heroin. And when I say forced, I endured a beating. At first, I was mentally broken. I then endured a beating, and it was a case of take the heroin or your son dies. My son was age 6 at the time. So I went for the heroin thinking that if I just pretend to take this drug and then I can find an escape route, but that didn't happen. So I took the heroin and immediately I experienced instant hatred towards myself. But in the same sort of breath, there was instant forgiveness for this person. The heroin didn't seem that bad. What was all the fuss about? It's, you know, it hasn't killed me. In fact, I feel really warm and I feel really safe. And it just washed all my parental instincts out of the window. The relationship, now I feel trapped. And I will get out because heroin will never grab me. It cannot grab me. This is my story to myself. My son, I placed with my parents. My parents believed that I'd abandoned my son for a man. And you know what? It was easier for me to have my parents believe that because I'd rather you believe that of me than believe that your daughter is now a drug addict. Mm-hmm. The crack cocaine came in, and this went on for 13 years. I mean, I wasn't with that partner for 13 years. We'd separated, and I'd spent another time in prison whilst in the relationship with him. And when we both got sent to prison, when I came out of prison, I went back to my hometown, Birmingham, because I'd moved out of my hometown. And my drug addiction escalated to a level that I didn't know was possible. When I say that I went all out, I was ruthless. And because of the knowledge and the understanding I have now, I was obviously in a very, very low place. And heroin became my best friend, and so did crack cocaine. I'd spent numerous times in prison because I chose to shoplift to fund my habit. And this went on, like I said, for 13 years. The whole episode was 15 years. I think the first 2 years is when we was in prison talking to each other. But the drug addiction was most certainly 13 years. On the 27th of January, 2011, I said, I've had enough. I can't do this anymore. I just can't. I was, you know, I think I was 47 years of age. I couldn't have been, because that was 11 years ago. I was 43 years of age. And I said, I can't do this anymore. And so I got released from prison on that date, and I went to destroy myself. I just took copious amounts of heroin, copious amounts of crack cocaine and alcohol. I woke up the following morning. I wasn't very happy that I'd woke up. And then I was intuitively led to a supported accommodation where I fell into the hands of a life coach. I didn't know she was a life coach. I didn't know she was a mentor. But before I knew all of that, I'd gone to bed that night. And when I woke up the next day, the power of drug addiction and mental health had just gone, just completely gone. I didn't know what happened. It was removed from my mind. And over the coming weeks, I saw my body radiate. I just felt better. A lot of health issues had just disappeared. I couldn't answer any questions. And that is what set me on the journey to find out. I knew something happened in the conscious mind or the subconscious mind, and it set me off on a discovery for 10 years. So that's why I say I don't have... I'm very fortunate. Mm-hmm. When I hear other drug people that have been on drugs, when they talk about being sober, when they talk about recovery, fortunately for me, I cannot relate, because I'm not in recovery. I've got nothing to recover. I don't feel like I'm sober today. I don't. Thank God, I don't have that one day at a time. I'm just here, and I absolutely categorically know that I will never touch drugs again, because this is a different person speaking to the drug addict who died on the 27th of January, 2011.
Wow. I'm so happy for you with that as well. I have this personality of cold turkey thing when I do cold turkey, and I just, like, as you're saying, it's a mind thing, and I believe in energy and spirituality. Once you set up, at least for me, when I make up my mind about something, I do it. And I don't do New Year's resolutions. I don't say I'm going to wait for January or whatever. If I decide to do something, I do it. And I rarely look back. And I just set up my mind to do it. And I think, definitely. I think it takes personality. Probably it's a personality trait. And also it comes to practice as well as determination. And I think that's why I mentioned personality first. I feel like if your personality is not that, then you probably will struggle with the commitment and all this stuff. But me, I can commit right away. Like if I decide I'll do it, I'll do it. And if I'm doubting about it, then I know I wasn't going to do it. So that's amazing that you have those. I have tried certain drugs, alcohol, and smoking, I would say at least once in my life, because I wanted to be open-minded about certain things. But the hard stuff that I never did until last year, when I had a relationship with someone I room with in a house. And so in order for me to because I felt like one of the personalities that I have is if I'm dedicated to someone or anything, I'm very loyal to it or to that person. So I felt like that person was going away, and one way for me to be with them to do was cocaine. And then they mentioned that as well. They're like, they want someone to be there with them, to someone to basically, because they were addict, but they didn't admit it. And so I was just like, okay, I'm just going to do that. And I know I'm not going to be addictive. And as long as I can be with you, whatever. And so that I did that one time though. And I've noticed every time I do anything, like when I did smoke cigarettes or smoke weed or when I had alcohol, my body immediately rejects it. I would have violent rejection toward those things.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And so every time that did happen, I would go like, oh, it's not for me. I don't want it. And so, and I couldn't, back then I had shame, but I don't anymore. But I was just like, I couldn't believe how I consider myself straight edge and I don't indulge in those things. And I did that for that guy in order to be with him. And eventually he didn't want to be left, but he left me anyway. So I felt really shame and stupid, and I couldn't believe this. And I was in depression for 10 months because of it. And so, but I can relate with the, because even with the cocaine stuff, when I did it, like, because he described it as a certain way. So when I did it, within I think 40 minutes of it, my body, I was in rejection mode.
Wow.
Yeah. And I saw what was happening and I was pretty aware of it. And he saw it too. And it's like, this is not supposed to happen. Like, but I was sad. We didn't get together, but hindsight now, I'm like, you know, I'm grateful because the situation was toxic. I do my best not to call people toxic because I believe that as spiritual beings, we're love and we behave in toxic ways. So his behavior was very toxic and everything. And I'm glad it's not around anymore. But going through it, I was in a low point, not in a addiction. Well, it was addiction. I was addicted to a person. So I was in a different kind of addiction point. And when I've spoken to a lot of people, actually women, especially who've gone through addiction, I've noticed, well, I haven't talked to everybody, but most people I've talked to, I've noticed there's a pattern where there's usually a man who comes into a lady's life and brings all these drugs. It's interesting. And as I'm talking to people and I'm seeing what happened to me too, I was like, wow, like I did those stuff so I can be with somebody. And they ended up having their own life and they left me anyway. So, and I'm left with, and I'm glad I wasn't left with addiction. But if that did happen, then I'll be left with the addiction as they've gone away. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to add to what you said. It's when this first happened to me, it was quite frustrating because it was as if it was magic. It was like, hold on a minute. Where's the drug addiction? Where is it? Where's it gone? It can't just disappear. Like I said, I was fortunate that I fell into the hands of a mentor, and she was a student of somebody called Bob Proctor, who talks about the mind, the conscious mind, the subconscious mind. And when she showed it to me, immediately I understood it. I just understood it. And so I started my journey. I say I started my journey. I have always been more in the spirit realm than I have in the physical realm. I didn't realize that by using visualization as a place of escapism when I was on drugs, I would just visualize myself being completely free, living an amazing life with an amazing partner and having all these amazing things. And that is exactly what happened. It's as if I just got kicked out of that world and into what I'd been visualizing. So, I totally understand what you're saying, and especially about the personality, because I've doing mentorship, I have a mentor. I mentor other ladies to deal with their emotions and to go after their goal. I've done a couple of personality tests, and I actually came out as an alchemist, which I'm not surprised. I really am not surprised, because they like create magical things happen, and we sort of say, I don't know how that happens. Yeah. But yes.
Very and there's an importance of knowing. One of my gurus is Sadhguru, and he often says that being human is super. And people are saying, I'm just human. Just saying that tells us within ourselves that, oh, I cannot amount to anything, which is untrue, because if we were just human, like dumb humans, we would not have what we have right now. Like, you're in London, I'm in New York. And it's like, if we were thinking that we're too dumb to do it, none of this would happen. So, in our mind, we can do so much. I have cured so many illnesses just because I said, you know what? It's gone. I don't care to entertain. This is happening. It's gone. And also, I have to know, and I know that we are the spirit as well as the tangible body. So I meditate and I say, it's gone. But at the same time, I do my herbals because I'm also tangible. So those things are there for us. So I do my moringa, my Irish moss, all these other things, and my neem and ginger and et cetera. And usually like a cold, I say that and people don't believe it in, but I'm not also a medical practitioner, but I do believe that I have caught the you know what of 2020 many times, and it lasts for 1 or 2 days. And I'm like, you know, it's probably not for everybody, maybe because we're 8 billion people in the world, we have different bodies and different other things. And because I know people who are around me and they caught it and they were bedridden for 2 weeks or so, but then I would tell them, hey, do ginger? Oh, it's too spicy. Do you do apple cider vinegar? It would taste gross. But then they would rather go to the doctor to get something chemical, which is fine-ish because I'm not against Western, but I feel like if you can, food is medicine. If you can use food and you do Zumba, if you can like move your body. I was kind of sick like just last year. And for like at least 2 days, the second day I felt better. But the first day I felt anything, I did all these remedies and I made sure I slept and I drank a lot of water. And the next day, the first thought I had was, let me be lazy. And I was like, nope, I do yoga every day. So I'm just going to do yoga. And I do 1 hour yoga, 1 hour workout. And I was like, well, I don't have energy to do workout, but I can do yoga at least. And the third day I woke up like it was a new day. And I was like, see? So we are super.
We are super. I mean, you know, the understanding, the experience and the understanding. So I started off with wanting to know about the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, which is very, very useful, but it's still tangible. And then in 2016, everything was working out for me. I was given a Mercedes. I bought another Mercedes. I had a beautiful home, an amazing partner. Everything was falling into place, but I wasn't happy. So I called out to, I'm born again Christian, and I called out to the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God. I just called all of them and I said, you know what? I've had enough. I don't know who you are and I don't know who I am. And if you're not going to tell me, take me off this earth, because this is real pain. This was the emotional pain. And I remember getting up and just going into my kitchen after I'd screamed at the universe. And my mentor spontaneously sent me a YouTube video of somebody called Muji. And I said, oh, okay. So I clicked onto Muji and, oh my God, I had to go into solace. I just walked away from the world and I sat under satsang and I just watched the psychological mind, the guilt and the shame and everything disappear. My bills got paid. Everything got sorted. Everybody was fine. I was just focused. And Then I was led on to Eckhart Tolle, and I've met with Eckhart via Zoom, just joining his courses that he's done. And then my final landing was Lester Levingston. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's the guy that created the Sedona method. He was sent home at the age of 45, I think it was. He was told, go home and die. The hospital said, just go home and die because nobody can help you. His back was against the wall. He wanted to know why he was never happy. And in 3 months, he lived until he was 100, Lester did. So those are the mentors that I've had around me, as well as having a physical mentor, which I think is really important. I have a consultant. She's also my mentor, life coach, an amazing lady. But my experiences were I was put in the hands of people that have lived it, experienced it. So I kind of went through understanding the soul and then the spirit. And the spirit, you can't really understand, but you can only be it. There's nothing to understand. It's silence. It's isness. It's pure. And it's, you're right. You're so right when you say that, yes, we're spirit. But we've been put in a human body, and it's our responsibility to do as best as we can. Like yourself, I use lots of health products, but I also use essential oils, pure essential oils. They are from seed to bottle. I don't, and that's me. Yes, I will work out. I've got a Zumba fitness session later on this evening, and I do yoga meditation, which is, I mean, you're probably aware of it, where your attention goes around the body and you're just investigating the body. You're investigating everything.
It feels so good.
it's amazing. And that big thing that happened in 2019, 2020, I was fortunate to, there's no awareness of it. It just hasn't really come into my world. Yeah.
Yes. So you know of Dr. Wayne Dyer? At all?
Oh yes, I do.
Oh my, yes. It's amazing. And so he's gone through a lot of illnesses, and he said on his podcast that one guy was saying, "Oh, you're so spiritual, and you're so da 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 da. Why illnesses are coming to you?" And you know, like some people trying to punch under the belt, trying to have you prove anything. He says, "If I'm not quoting right, he's like, I'm still human. I still have a body. Illnesses will come, but at the same time, just like anything comes, I have the tool to overcome those." And he has
absolutely
that. Because people will make joke of you and be like, "Well, you died because he died of an illness, but so what? As he was living, he had joy and happiness." So that's the goal, like, of life, like, because if you're living and you're just existing and you're not living to the fullest. And wish he was. And he's such a mentor. He's one of my group. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the body is, you know, you can see the body has changed. This body wasn't present when I was six, but I'm not really interested in the body. I will take care of the body. I will honor the body. The most important element to me is who am I beyond the form? Mm-hmm. That is because who I am with 24 hours a day. I couldn't leave behind in 2021. Who I am is always here, all knowing, all present. I'm here. And that, it's working from the inside out. When the guilt and shame and the apathy, when we've understood what they are, they're just feelings, and we understand that I can actually let this go. I don't have to keep hold of it. When we understand that we can let go of these emotions and be in the higher states, courageousness, peace, acceptance, life is amazing. Life is beautiful. And when the body goes, I don't go. I don't go anywhere. I will remain as pure consciousness, because that is who we all are. Ultimately, we are pure consciousness, pure happiness.
Definitely. And you mentioned something really important that everyone should hear about, is that once you made that click, when you had that awareness, everything fell into place. You knew your power, and you were in that space of that power, that path, and everything fall into place. And it's so true, because beside our spirit, like this is a controller. If we are beating down ourselves, doing like things against our bodies, like doing drugs or not exercising or listening to bad things or eating wrong, we're not in the path of alignment. But once we are, everything will fall into place. Because I've also noticed that with my life, as of, I would say 2014, that's when I was like starting the path of like, okay, let me take care of my mind, body, and spirit. And somehow in 2020, I don't know what happened. I wasn't one of those people who get depressed of 2020 because of what was happening. I just met this dude and this happened. And I just fell into the abyss. Like I was blind and I fell into a hole and I had no idea. And I'm glad that I'm back up. But now I'm going to be more aware of not letting the tangible physical beauty of things distract me. So briefly, yes. Tell the audience, basically, because you have spoken about bits and there of your story, but can you give like a timeline from the beginning to where you are now so the audience can get a backstory?
Yeah, so like I said, this started in 1996, I think it was. Yes, it was 1996, making poor decisions, going into prison. And then obviously my prison sentences, I think I had 50 because I wasn't a very good shoplifter. Obviously, I wasn't, because I kept getting caught and kept going to prison. And then when I came out in January 2011, I've never looked back. My life done a drastic 360 turn. It was just unbelievable. Everybody was saying it's a miracle, and yes, it was a sovereign touch, because things don't just happen. Everything in the universe is governed by law. Perhaps I had the right attitude, maybe, you know, I was doing something that warranted that. I know visualization played a huge part of it. So I then went on, and after I think it was something like maybe 2 months, I was having conversations with God. God is intuition. The voice of God for me is intuition. And that it was my intuition was so loud and prompted me to take the next step. My question was, Lord, how do I divorce the devil? Because that was what was said to me. You was married to the devil. My mentor said it. I said, oh my God, how do I divorce the devil? And the intuitive voice was, you know what you have to do. I opened my eyes and I just saw all my worldly possessions, all my ill-gotten gain. I packed them up in bags and put them on the street. And that was the beginning for me. I then became a born-again Christian. I followed the path of Christianity. I done volunteering, because I was in a supported accommodation, which is just where landlords will buy properties like with multiple rooms and take in people that have got challenges, that need support with getting back on their feet, or if they've been homeless or drug addiction or any form of addiction. It's just giving that additional help and support. That is where I was sent to from prison. And then the lady who was the service provider became my mentor. And the very first, I remember looking at her, and it was the spiritual connection. And I said to her, I want what you've got. What do I need to do? And she said, you want what I've got. She said, you need to go and clean the toilets. And I was like, And that was my first step. She wanted to put me under, I suppose it was discipline. It was, are you willing? You want what I've got. You need to start where I started.
Yes, so humility.
Yes. Yeah. So it was cleaning toilets, and then the responsibilities got bigger and bigger. And before you knew it, I was running the whole place. I then realized that, yes, I need to get some qualifications here. So I was running qualifications, and then it is my natural ability, because that is the one thing that I wholeheartedly, when people come in who are broken, and to be able to just understand what they're saying. They just need understanding. And it's a natural ability that I have.
Nice.
So I have become a specialist in this field, and this is what I do now. So I that's when, you know, you mentioned that I was the CEO of a not-for-profit company. I'm also an author. I'm on my second book. I wrote my first book, which is called Married to the Devil, and I wrote that in 2012. And then this year, I just knew there was something I had to do with a book. Sorry, I'm saying this year, 2021. I was, what can I do with a book? Can I do this? Can I? Because so much had happened since writing the first book. And after I wrote the first book, there was lots of things that I'd remembered that now that I am more spirit than body, that I think is really relevant and captivating and inspiring. And I thought, well, I'm going to have to do it again. So I sat down in October and my book was published in December. I have never written a book. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that you could write a book in 2 months. It was literally, and it wasn't, I wasn't under pressure. I think the vision pulled me and I just went into superpower mode. I don't know how I done it.
You are in spirit, like Wayne Dyer would say. Yeah, he was like you writing books like this.
Wow. It was just like, I'd set myself a goal, and I remember starting in October, and I'd set myself a goal, and I thought, right, I'm going to do this in November. And there's a little voice saying, that's crazy. And I thought, I like crazy. And I'm telling you, it was just flowing. And the publishers were amazing because they was giving me the kick that I needed. That was like, Amanda, we want this done by this date. Come on, you can do it. We want your book out for Christmas. Come on, you can do it. And I just felt like the whole of the universe collaborated. Everybody that I'd met on my journey, people would give way on the road, kind of knowing that I had to go home and do something. It was just phenomenal. It was phenomenal. And then actually seeing the book published at the end, it was like, it was worth it. It really, really was worth it. And the feedback I've had so far has been humbling. I'm genuinely humbled. People have read the book and said that, Amanda, now I know why I'm here. I'm going to go after my goals. I'm going to go after my dreams. I'm going to live my best life. Right. Because to come out of where I've come out of and to do what I'm doing now, it's not that hard. It's just understanding a few things about your own nature. Once they're understood, the world is your oyster. So that is where I am today.
Most certainly. That's wonderful. Yeah. Can you tell us about the synopsis of the book, like why you've written it and what's the meat of it and where they can get the book? Beside that, we'll put on the show notes where you can get the book, but can you tell the audience?
Yes, like I said, in 2012, I wrote a book, Married to the Devil. And to me, in all honesty, it was therapy because I had to go back and revisit my childhood, which was enjoyable, but I've lost people from my childhood. I've lost my grandparents. So I had to incorporate my grandparents in my true story because I was talking as a child. And then I spoke about losing them. And to me, it was therapy. It was healing. The book got published in 2012. And after the book was published, I realized that I'd forgotten to mention this and I'd forgotten to mention that, and the this and the that is my experiences as a child, spiritual experiences of seeing things and the magical experiences, and I also discovered that my gift, because our gifts are with us from birth, if only we look we will see our gift. And I saw my gift and I said, I've got to share my gift. And it was reaching out to vulnerable people. So I believe that going into the drugs world, because I was very quickly in and I was very quickly out, it was night and day, was to experience real vulnerability at such a core level, so that when I come out, the empathy is natural, the non-judgment is everything, the love is pure. Because one thing I've come to realize is that we can say what we want to each other, but we feel each other's energy. Energy doesn't lie. It cannot lie. And somebody who's broken, somebody who's been judged, and, you know, somebody who just needs someone to believe in them, that is what my gift is to reach out to that person. And so I thought, I'm going to write a book and I'm going to just put it all out there. So the book, it's my true life story. My book, the main purpose for my book is to give inspiration and hope, because I met a lot of people when I was on drugs. Some of them came out, thank God. Some of them haven't made it. They're still in that same circumstance, and some of them we've lost along the way. And the frustration for me was because I know that we can be absolutely free from drugs without worrying, will I fall back tomorrow? We can, it's possible. And that is what I've put in my book. I've written about my flaws. I've written about some of the things that I've done that you know, were not clever, were not sensible, just to prove that I have those. I'm exactly the same as somebody else. The book is mainly for inspiration and to give hope to anybody that feels they can't come out of addiction or come out of a poor relationship. You absolutely can. You most certainly can. In the book, I talk about the mentorship program that I do. I'm currently working with some amazing ladies that have come through to me, and they're from different walks of life, and they are, it's the emotional baggage, it's that pain, it's the suffering, and it's me just holding their hand, and because I think if we have information and we understand the information, half the battle's over. It's just somebody gently guiding you through it. So that's also something that I do, which is mentioned in the book. The book, I do have a link where you can click on the link and you leave your email address, and I will also send out free ebooks. But it's primarily, you can get it from Amazon, you can get the book on Google, most of the leading bookstores, Barnes and Noble, and also Author House, who are the publishers.
Nice. Great. Yes, I'll also put the link on the show notes. So why was it important for you to tell your story with the audience today? And you've told your story through the book before, but why today again?
The main reason for me is because, I mean, I don't know, I'm in the UK. And I know that we have services in the UK for recovering drug addicts. I don't believe it's an opinion. This is, my message is of hope, and it is of absolute freedom. Once you've tasted freedom, once you've experienced freedom, once you have come out of something, the desire to give it to others is there, because that's my duty. That's my calling. I think there are other people that have been through what I've been through and completely come out, but there's so many that haven't. And this is not a judgment. This is just, listen, you can even come out of where you are. Yes, mm-hmm. You are no longer in that field of drugs, but you can absolutely be completely free, completely free. I don't come to bring anybody a new belief. What I say to people that I've worked with, and what I'm saying to this audience, is imagine if you knew nothing about water, and I've come to tell you about water, and I'm telling you water can be frozen, it can be hot, you can drown in it, you can swim in it, you can bathe in it, you can drink, you can add it to your food. I can give you the belief rather than take you through all of that, because you'll never actually know what water is. Hold my hand. Come and jump in it with me and experience it for yourself. And that is my message, that what I've just spoke about, I'm not special. I've got two hands, two feet, and I've got one head. There is nothing. We are all special, absolutely. But the specialness, no. This is pure human consciousness that every single one of us have. And once you drink that water, once you dip into that water, your life will completely change. And everything around you changes, and it's all for the good. It's for the greater good. It's for the whole of humanity. Yeah.
So amazing. And I'm so blessed and grateful that we got in touch and to hear your story. And like we're talking about energy, I'm feeling, when you're talking, I feel like in imagination, I'm talking about visualization. I was lifting up to a cloud and I feel light. And yeah, definitely. And you write about going through the things, because I've often been the kind of guy who stay away from trouble. And when I learn things from other people, when I see things online, I just do go the other way and I don't experience things until when I met this guy and I did experience things. And I was like, and I had the guilt and the shame, because I was like, oh, I'm such a, because I was growing up goody tissue being called and a golden boy and all my swimming get into trouble and I wasn't. So I was just like, oh, how could I do this to myself and at my age right now? And then I had to be like later on and be like, no, don't beat yourself down. Don't, we go through things. And once you, like my Angelou says, once you know better, you do better. So you experience it now. And it was my first time, I'll give you credit, my very first time I can recall having depression. I never experienced it before and I didn't know what it was. And it lasted for 10 months. And I think half of the 10 months, I didn't know where I was either. I was like in this dark space and in confusion. And when I knew what it was shock. And going out of it took a while as well, because I've noticed that depression is addictive, at least for me. And it was also the denial of saying, no, I got this, I'm fine, and all this stuff. So for me, what works for me is that you have to, the first step for me is realization, knowing what's happening and go like, oh my God. Or you can be like knowing who you are. And if you having a goal, then you have to do the work to get out of situation that you're in. And you also have to know you have the power. All of us do, regardless of who we are, like we have the power. Once you know that you're in that situation, self-awareness, and you have that power, nothing can really stop you. I spoke to this gentleman, he was in religious trauma, like he grew up Jehovah's Witness. So he was in there for like 55 years until where he got kicked out. And I don't know if you know any story about them, but once you get kicked out, basically, if you have no job, no family, you basically gonna be homeless and you know nobody beside your religion. Wow. So that was tough for him because that's all his life, 55 years. And I've known other people, this gentleman I spoke to, he had his drug addiction started when he was 8.
Wow.
And he was in there for 28 years and then he did it. So like talking to people like that, I'm like, wow, like I never experienced what you did, but hearing your story, I'm learning from it and it's very inspiring. Which would lead me to that. And you kind of like slightly mentioning it, and I was gonna ask you that question of what was your take away from your experience, because we have similarities where we did nothing and then we went to something and it did that to us and we get out of it and be like, so what was your takeaway from it?
My takeaway from my experience is I am powerful. I am, and the I that is powerful is not an individual, it's collective. I am so freaking powerful that it scares me. How can you be a drug addict? How can you be scrimping and scraping and be a victim to the world on Monday and Tuesday? You're a victim. How does that happen? It happened in my imagination. No way. So that was my takeaway, that we have faculties. One of the most important things, and you've said it, is decision making. Once the power behind making a decision, I think we underestimate that. By the way, to not make a decision is a decision. So
I'll just say that. Oh my God. Yeah. I never hear anyone say it. You said it, and I'm like, oh my God. Because when I say it online, people get offended about that. People say I have no choice, and I'm like, Sorry, I got excited.
That's fine. To not make a decision is a decision. So you've only got to try it. If I get up on a weekend when I have like a lay-in. So I'll say, right, Sunday, I'm going to just lie here, no alarm clock. And Sunday, kind of anything happens because I haven't made a decision about Sunday. I haven't made that decision today. I'm going to wash, iron, cook, clean, A, B, C, D. And it kind of, your decision pulls you. But when I say anything happens, it can be quite a bit of a frustrating day because in my head, I thought about doing a bit of ironing, but instead I ended up watching TV, Netflix, yeah, eating popcorn. So yeah, to not make a decision is a decision. And I've learned that from myself. But that's what I've learned. But my takeaway is that the experience doesn't make you who you are. It's not who we are, because the drug addict that was in this vessel has gone. It's gone. And I'm still here, the witnessing presence of the drug addict. Oh, yes. I'm still here. The drug addict's gone. And now the body has taken the form of a successful mentor entrepreneur. And I'm just in the background saying, well, it's fine. It's absolutely fine. Yeah.
So how are you currently living your best life? And can you quickly tell us about your Zumba funness? Because I see all the everyone's smiling and they're like fun and energetic.
Yeah, the Zumba, I'm gonna say it now, I've took a little bit of a step back. Well, I did in 2021 because I was so focused on the book and so focused on getting my company set up, and also focused because I had three projects running at once. So am I living my best life? Absolutely. And I'll tell you why I say that. It's because I am happy on purpose. I realized the most best times of my life, even as a drug addict, even when I was a drug addict, when I looked back, not laughing at anybody, but you know, that genuine laughter where we're all laughing together. When I was laughing, when I felt love, they were the best moments that I captured. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to collect them all. I'm just going to keep living them. And I'm just going to keep living them. And I'm just going on purpose. I am going to, for me, my trigger is my grandson. He's just turned one. Oh my God. He is the most adorable human being that I know. And what I do, I think of him. I hold the feeling. I capture the feeling. I let the feeling grow and grow and grow. And then I project it everywhere. And then it comes back at me. And so that is my best life. Can we do better? Absolutely. Because spirit is always seeking to expand. I'm extremely grateful for what I have. I'm on my knees with gratitude. But we've all got a gift. And the world is waiting for our gift. If I don't expand, I'm withholding my gift from the world. So for that reason, I'm living my best life when I'm gifting, when I'm absolutely gifting. Yeah.
So can you say, because I said about my life, as I've noticed, as I've gone through things, that sometimes you're living life and you're doing, or you're thinking you're doing your thing, but then life is like, okay, we gotta get our shit together and have something so drastic happen to you, which propels you like forward, and you're like, whoa, this is where I'm meant to be. So would you say your experience was kind of like that?
Yes, absolutely. Because leading up to the drug addiction, I had all my ducks in a row. I was very much focused on me. Let me go for this career for me and mine. I just want a comfortable three-bed house to fall in love with somebody and to live happily ever after. Nice. Life said, no, 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 that's not going to happen. And I have absolutely no regret. When I was actually on drugs, because I'm very potent with my mind, it's just a gift. I can visualize anything. I can go off into that dreamland for hours. I was so low that that I said, if I could have a remote control and a TV, what would my life, could I look back at my life and what would I change? And I, in my mind, I sat there with a big screen, big TV and a remote control, and I saw when I was five and I saw when I got in trouble for stealing candy, and I was like, I would change that. I would. And then I thought, no, I wouldn't, because after that came this. And if I don't have that experience, I don't have the. And I realized that my life, even as a drug addict, was perfection. It was absolute perfection because of the people that I'd met in prison, the women that I, the souls, they were some of the best belly laughs. Some of the real, the moments happened on that dark, dark, dark path. And it's now, if I look back now, if, you know, the happiness that I feel now, the accomplishments that I've got, would I have liked them 5 years ago? No, because I had lessons to learn to get where I am today. Life done it to me at the back end of 2019. I heard in my intuition, there's going to be famine. And I was like, this, come on, this is not Noah's Ark. What do you mean famine? This is 2019. And I went out. It wasn't panic or nothing. I bought loads of toilet roll, loads of hand sanitizer, loads of cleaning stuff. And my family was laughing at me Boxing Day. They said, "What? You know, what's what? Have you got OCD?" And I said, "Listen, intuition spoke, and the body obeyed. I don't know. I don't know why." And I did feel a little bit stupid. My partner was like looking to put me into counseling because he said, "Sweetheart, that's not right. Why have you bought all that toilet roll? Why have you bought all that bleach?" I couldn't answer him. I didn't know. And then 2020, I found out why. And it was my calling to go and meet people who couldn't get out of their homes and take them toilet roll. And so, you know, it's things like that that make you you kind of can understand how all of us are connected. Life is on purpose. Life is gentle, life is amazing, but life needs our cooperation. Life wants to flow through us. I think I learned, for me, last year was my resistance levels had got quite high. And I say mine, it's a collective thing, because like I said, we are all connected, but I experienced resistance at quite a high level. And so I had to do something about it. I chose to do something about it. And it's the best thing ever, because it opened the doors for me to do a course to show people how to do it. So whatever we're going through, it's usually for a lesson to gift to somebody else. Nothing. When I go, we don't need healing. I don't need to know how to make money. I don't need to live my best life. When I go, you know, it's the gifts are for here. I quite easily and happily give my gifts to others.
Yeah. And the way I see it is, all of us, there's a big puzzle piece, and we're the pieces of the puzzle, and the people you met and your experiences are part of that piece. And I know Dr. Wayne Dyer would say, when it comes to doing something, he says, don't have the end goal as your goal or anything. Enjoy the process, because it's in the process that's when you'll see the purpose of what is happening. Because this is why people who are not looking at the process, they're saying, why me? And they're feeling depressed, or it's feeling sad, or they're feeling defeated because they're not in the present enjoying. I mean, you're not enjoying your bad happenings, but in a sense of like being present to go, like being aware of what's happening. Therefore, you'll probably will get out of it quicker. Because I know prior to depression, and I was doing that. And during the depression, I was not. Yeah. And then after depression, I was going back on track doing what I do. So I see where I was in the dark space, not doing it. And so it doesn't align.
This is who I am. I'm a message of hope. I'm a message of inspiration. I'm a message of love. If there's anything that I would love people to take away, is that you're here on this earth and you're here for a reason. There's no accidents. The universe, God, source, spirit, whatever, does not have accidents, nor does the universe have grandchildren and cousins. There's only you. the universe treats you as though you are the most important, and in essence, you are. We are. And it's to, you know, most of my journey, there has been so much support in the background. People, the unsung heroes, the people that became my mentors, the people that gave me that smile that day that I needed because, this challenge of mine, that smile that, then the energy lifted and the idea came. We have absolutely no idea who we are going to affect. Mm-hmm. But one thing is for certain is there is a law that's called cause and effect. And if we just take care of the cause, if we just take care of right thinking, right believing, right eating, just take care of the cause, the effect will take care of itself. Mm-hmm. And the effect is astonishing because every action that we take affects the universe, every mm-hmm. action, everything. So my message is of love. I don't need to know you well, I do know you because we're all one essence.
Yes.
I don't need to see physical forms. I just send out love. I send out a message of hope. Whatever it is that is laid on your heart to go and do, just say yes and watch the universe collaborate and bring the right people and the right situations to you.
Most certainly, most certainly.
Yeah.
When I experienced what I did in August, which lasted for like 5 months, the relationship, and then around September, that's when all the cloud lift up. And that's one of the reasons I got the podcast, because it was a solo thing, just to like therapy, put my heart out and talk about my shame and everything. And it morphed into this now. If you told me in August 2021, I would be doing this, I'm like, no, I listen to podcasts. I don't do them. And so I've taken Dr. Nguyen's Dyer advice like gold, enjoy the process. So things has been morphing and I'm just enjoying it because I'm having fun and I'm meeting so many amazing people, including you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. And so thank you so much again for your for your story today and sharing it with us. And it has inspired me, and I'm sure will inspire many others. And the message of hope and the message of you have the power in being human is super. And the things that is happening to you, I know some people don't want to hear this when it's happening, but the universe makes things to happen for you, for your good. And yes, be in the pleasant, be in the process, then you can overcome anything. Thank Absolutely. You again, Amanda. Thank Appreciate you. You.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank
you. You too.
All right. How so did you feel it went? Did you feel it? It went okay. You know.
I'm in ecstasy. I never experienced ecstasy, but I. Yeah, and I think like we're. As you're saying, like, we believe the same thing and it is true. Like, I don't even, in my guru says, it's like, it's not a belief thing. It's a knowing thing. And I know, and when you're speaking and I know these things and I'm getting goosebumps, and I don't know if it's because it's cold there or probably both. But yeah, it went natural and amazing. And yeah, it went great. So I'm very grateful for
you.
Yeah.
Me too. Thank no you. Worries. Thank you. It's definitely, this is not on purpose. I mean, this is not accidental. This is because I tend to leave social media alone. I only use it for the book, talking about the book. And I don't tend to really go in. And I was being a good girl yesterday. I was like, right, I'm going to focus on this. And intuition, you know, I think when you was talking about the gentleman that was in a religion for 55 years, my heart, because I've come, and it happened to me. You can get caught into that's too holy. God won't allow that. God is, in fact, I think God, I don't even really use that word, source, infinite spirit, self, I am, is so vast and is quirky and is in everybody. He's expressing everywhere. And so when I get an intuition to go on Facebook, I just go on because I don't know. And as soon as I went in, I saw a notification from Addicts Lives Matter. Somebody had posted. And normally I would just say, okay. But I went, I scrolled and boom, it just sucked me. I was like, okay, I'm going to contact this guy. It happened so fast. I was like, wow, because I've done podcasts before. I've done three or four, I think it is. And I have two lined up for this year with the publishers. Somebody called Katie Delaney. She's from the States. And she does TV. She does radios. So I've got lots lined up. I've got book fairs lined up. So I wasn't really looking to, you know, I was just like chilling and just like Zoom. I was like, okay, then let's do it. And the conversation between us just flowed.
Right.
Flowed. And even when I typed Thursday to you, I said, why did I say Thursday? Why did I not just say tomorrow? Why? What made my finger do Thursday? And then you came back. And I was like, see, I knew I got it wrong. Yes, let's do tomorrow. And here we are.
Thank Amazing. You. Oh my God, our brain is like the same, and we know that it's like because you're saying that. I was like, yeah. Actually, on Thursdays, I made sure to dedicate Thursday to servicing. So the whole day, I don't even. Sometimes I do yoga, but even that, I'll give up my yoga. I go to Full Shelter and I service there, and. On that day, I look forward to Thursday because I'm currently unemployed because I didn't take the jab. So I'm not working, but I do work online, but not like in person. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, Thursday is my day and I'm so happy and et cetera. And Dr. Wayne Dyer would say, the word coincidence has been a dirty word now because the word coincidence really means coincide. It's supposed to be, and people use it as it's not, and that's not what it's supposed to be meaning. And when you're talking about intuition, 2016, although it was a bad year for a lot of people, but for me, it was a year of intuition. And again, Dr. Wendara, my guru, he says, prayer is you speaking to God. Intuition is God speaking back to you.
Speaking to you, yes.
So if you shut intuition down, you are shutting the communication with God and you're saying God don't answer your prayers as he is answering them. You are just not picking up the call.
Absolutely. Intuition has made me look like a miracle worker. All I've done is heard it and said, okay, Lord. There was once, I can just share with you quickly, I was sat in a laundrette. I didn't have a washing machine, tumble dryer, so I was sat in a laundrette. And I used to sit in one spot because I got used to the manager and we made friends and he would say hi, you know, every week. But something said sit by the door. And I thought, why am I sat here? I'm actually in the way of people coming. And I was getting quite frustrated, but I knew intuition put me here. So I just said, okay. And then from that position, I looked. And I saw a lady and she was struggling getting out of her car. And I went to move and intuition said, wait, just watch. And as she leaned forward, you could see her sanitary towel. It was being displayed. And I thought, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, that's embarrassing. Oh my God, oh my God. And I thought, right, I'm going to let this lady know because she was gathering some laundry to bring into the laundrette. And as I was right by the door, I thought when she comes in, I will wait until she's off her mobile and I will just say, excuse me, you know, no. That's not what intuition put me there for. The lady made her way to the door. I was catapulted out of my seat and I swung the door open for her. And she stopped and she said, oh my God, how did you know? I said, excuse me. She said, I'm actually having a miscarriage now. The baby is leaving my body now. How did you know? And I had no words because I didn't know. Intuition knew. Intuition got me, catapulted me out of my seat to open the door for this lady. because of what she was going through. Can you imagine if I had said to her, you know, you can see your panty liner, she's wearing it for a reason. So it is when you can hear, when you can discern, it is a sacred gift. It's so sacred because intuition can save you so many problems, so many. And it's just by being still.
Yeah,
it is. It's just by being still, doing that meditation, just that stillness. Your intuition. I don't want to say. I think when we quiet the mind and we are in stillness, intuition is always talking, but the mind has now gone quiet. We can hear intuition. It's that noisy busyness that stops us from hearing intuition.
Yes, so intuition has no rhyme or reason. It just is. And I've noticed whenever I push it aside, I pay the consequence.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
So, All right. Yes. Thank you so much again. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
And you. Thank you. Bye-bye.